Thankfully, that's going to change. Now, picture the scene. You're swaying on a rickety rope bridge slung some 500 feet above a canyon, and a gust of wind sends you swinging alarmingly. And those creaking noises coming from the supporting ropes don't have you very reassured. Am I making you nervous? Well, if so, you might be one of the approximately 20% of us who suffer from an irrational fear of heights.
Surprisingly, though, few of us actually seek any treatment for this. But this could soon change because a team at Oxford University are developing a VR, or a virtual reality, therapist that could see you facing your fears from the comfort and safety of your living room. Isabel Cochrane heard how from Daniel Freeman.
When someone is overcoming a mental health problem, what you want them to be able to do is go into the situations that trouble them and feel fine about it. But normally, when you have a mental health difficulty, for example, you're feeling socially anxious, going into a room full of people is difficult. If you have a fear of heights, going near a height is difficult. And what we can do in VR is present these situations and train the person in the moment how to overcome their difficulty.
So how does this VR compare with the treatment someone with a fear of heights, for example, would normally get?
In many ways, the treatment we provide in VR is very similar to what you would get if you were seeing a highly skilled therapist doing the best psychological treatment. Because what we've done is try to automate the provision of really good treatment in VR. So you don't have the difficulties of trying to find a therapist. But in VR, we also do some stuff that you can't do with a real therapist. We do things by virtual heights that push the fears a bit more than you might in the real world. So we have like a platform that goes out in the middle of a large atrium where you rescue a cat. You wouldn't do this in real life therapy, but can do it in VR. And when you can conquer these things in VR, then it makes everyday situations around heights a lot easier.
Even just hearing about that platform makes me feel a little bit queasy, I have to say.
Yes, I mean, it's hard work. The interesting thing about VR is that the people, you know, with fear of heights, they are sweating and it takes a lot of, you know, courage and determination to do it. But at the same time, they're also smiling because they know it's not real. That's the beauty of VR. You know it's not real. You do things that in the real world you would struggle with. And yet you also have this added delight of finding out if you conquer it in VR, it transfers to the real world.
How realistic does it actually have to be in order to trigger this feeling of fear?
It doesn't take much in VR to trigger a fear of heights. Oxford VR are very keen on making sure that things are incredibly engaging and appealing. So we're going for a reasonable amount of realism, and we're also putting lots of fun elements in. Mental health treatments traditionally can be less than fun, and we're trying to make something that's really engaging and appealing for people to help them overcome their problems. And even the sort of rescuing the cat from the tree, many people really quite enjoy that task. When I do it, you know, it certainly makes me very anxious going out. You're 10 stories up, basically, on a plank, trying to pick up a cat who's meowing at you. But people can also see the sort of the comedic value of this as well.
What else do you get people to do?
So we do a bit of xylophone playing right by the edge of the virtual height, for example. And at the end, when you've done all the sort of therapy tasks, you get a chance to ride a virtual whale around the atrium.
So that's your reward. How well does it work?
Really well. Even I was surprised how good the results are. The average reduction in fear of heights was 2/3 in patients who had the VR treatment, which is extraordinarily good.
How are you measuring that?
We use 3 different clinical assessment scales, which can be validated against reactions at real heights. In other work we've done, we actually take people to real heights before and after, and you can just see the change.
Do you think we'll be able to use this for other phobias? So, for example, insects, I think, is quite a common one.
Yes. I mean, I guess at Oxford, our ambitions are much greater than just phobias. We think it can be applied to most mental health conditions. We're working on a project to use VR automated delivery of psychological therapy for patients with severe mental health problems, such as schizophrenia. There are very few mental health conditions where you cannot see VR as one aspect of care. A lot of patients with severe mental health problems, through current treatments, still have quite a few problems. They're often mistrustful, they might be hearing voices, they might be feeling depressed or socially anxious. The end result of all of this is that when they go out into the real world, for example, around other people, everyday social situations, they get very frightened. And that means actually what they tend to do is withdraw from life, stay indoors. So again, what we're dealing with here is helping people go back into everyday situations and learn that they're safe and that they can cope.
So how are you planning to make this available? Is this something that you're planning to use in the context of clinics, for example? Is it just something that anyone will be able to download onto their smartphone or their VR device at home?
Well, it's a good question. And I think the answer may change over the years. What we plan to do is to put it into NHS Psychological Therapy Service. So the equipment is there. But of course, as VR kit becomes more widely available at home and it becomes lighter, more affordable and technically a bit better, it will be likely to be in people's homes. And you can envisage in the future people also doing these sorts of treatments in the comfort at home whenever they want.
Very exciting work there. That was Daniel Freeman speaking with Isabel Cochrane, and that study was published in The Lancet Psychiatry.